This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
So the FBI, they're going to be helping Dallas police try and track down the person responsible for the shot that pierced a Southwest Airlines jet that was about to take off on Friday. Now, the plane was near a Bachman Lake when it was struck. Dallas police records show that there were two reports of random gunfire about that time the plane was hit.
Without people coming forward and providing more information, these are extremely challenging for law enforcement to identify a suspect and then hold them accountable.
Former Fort Worth Police Chief Jeff Halstead does not think anyone targeted the plane. Rather, it was probably gunfire from another incident and the bullet accidentally struck the plane.
Irving cops remember one of their own today after a motorcycle wreck.
It happened on Friday night as Officer Jerome Scholes was riding his motorcycle while off duty when he was involved in a crash. Investigators believe another driver failed to yield the right-of-way while turning, causing the multi-vehicle crash on Valley View Lane near Interstate 635. Scholes was a five-year veteran of the Irving Police Department, and Chief Derek Miller says he truly had a personality larger than life.
Jerome was a true servant leader. Servant leader is a philosophy that quite simply puts others in front of oneself, and that's what Jerome was.
Miller says Scholes was a fitness nut who challenged fellow officers to stay in shape. They're still working on funeral plans, but we'll have those in the coming days. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin York, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
This year turned into a very good year for our neighbors in the city of Houston. Its city marketing company, Houston First Corporation, reports the city will finish the year with around 54 million visitors. That's up from 51 million last year. Houston First says one of the main reasons is the city is popular as a convention host. You compare that 54 million to North Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Arlington combined hit around 51.5 million.
Arizona's governor announcing a new effort to secure the state's border with Mexico.
Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs joined U.S. Customs and Border Protection at the border city of Nogales to announce a new task force to crack down on drug trafficking, safeguard communities, and secure the border.
The people of Arizona and this nation want more than words. They want results. They want politicians to treat the border as more than a convenient place for a photo op.
Hobbs expressed a willingness to work with the incoming Trump administration.
I will work with anyone to secure our border.
Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Prescott, Arizona.
CBS News Brief. New York State is the first in the nation to adopt congestion pricing. In this case, it's a $9 toll for driving in Manhattan. And this New Yorker is not thrilled.
It is really going to do a great disservice. You know, if you thought it was bad in June, what is it going to do to us now that the holidays are here?
And the charge actually doesn't start until January 5th. Ukraine can now fire American-made missiles deep into Russia to defend itself. President Biden giving Ukraine the okay over the weekend. Former Russia Ambassador John Sullivan.
In my opinion, it was about time that the United States gave the Ukrainians the ability to defend themselves more completely.
Heavy thunderstorms are hitting a wide area from the south to the Midwest and more. CBS San Francisco meteorologist Jessica Birch.
This storm system is packing its punch anywhere from Houston to Dallas, stretching off into Louisiana and Alabama and widespread throughout the Midwest.
As far north as southern Minnesota and Wisconsin. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
More than half of America still supports the death penalty in this country, but that support keeps dropping. Latest Gallup poll finds 53% of Americans back the death penalty for capital murder crimes. That supports the lowest that it's been in more than 50 years. It's also down from two-thirds of the country up until 2006. fell to 61% in 2016. Most of the support drop comes from the youngest generations. A majority of millennials and Gen Z just don't support it.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
President-elect Donald Trump is continuing to announce picks for his cabinet and senior staff over the weekend, including the naming of oil industry executive Chris Wright as his choice to lead the Department of Energy, someone in the business. One position that still hasn't been announced, though, is Treasury Secretary. This is one of the big ones. It was reported that Trump might select either Howard Lutnick, the CEO of the Wall Street firm Cantor Fitzgerald, or perhaps Scott Bessent, who's the founder of the investment firm Key Square Capital. Now, though, there are reports coming out that Trump might be rethinking that position. And we're going to bring in News Nation national correspondent Robert Sherman now to talk about that. Robert, good morning.
Hey, good morning. And yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right in that really important position to the president-elect, considering how much he's talked about the economy on the campaign trail, considering how much he's talked about the issue of tariffs over the last few years, I mean, really ever since he burst onto the scene. So those are all important pieces of all of this when it comes to selecting a Treasury secretary. And our sources have even told us that there was a meeting with Scott Bessent late last week here. You know, it was still very much so in the conversation. But now we're hearing that one more name is entering this conversation. Mark Rowan, head of the private equity firm Apollo, supposed to have a meeting with the president-elect this week here. So it does appear as though that the scope of this search is expanding here. Does he end up going with one of those original names, Mr. Rowan, a new name? That all remains to be seen. But this is an important position, and it's clear that they're going through this process very fastidiously.
What happened? Why did he expand that scope and, I guess, rethought the position?
Oh, you know, that's a good question, you know, and it does seem as though, you know, from some of the reporting that's out there, that at the very least there's cold feet on exactly, you know, alignment, you know, or personalities between all of them, you know, and how all they would work together. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it comes down to assembling a team in which the president-elect has confidence is going to be able to carry out the policy that he wants to carry out. The economy, Treasury Secretary position, that's about as important as it gets for this particular president. Big focus on tariffs, big focus on interest rates. It's all about finding the right person in order to carry that out.
His picks so far have kind of fallen into two categories. There's the ones that you look at and you think, okay, I can see that. And then there's the ones over here that are just, they're out there. This one seems to fall into that former category of, you know, there are people in the business, in the industry. I mean, they understand it so far anyway, the ones that we've heard, right?
So far, yeah. I mean, all of them big players in the financial sector of this country. All of them have pretty advanced pedigrees. Now, I also point out the fact that Howard Lutnick is also co-chair of the transition team as well in a formal capacity, you know, so has been playing a role, you know, in all, you know, these conversations about transition, they didn't start the day after the election. This has been right. A conversation that has been ongoing for months here. But then, I mean, you look at his name, Mark Rowan as well, major private equity firm. I mean, that's keeping in lockstep with what he's been looking for.
What about the ones that have already been announced? What are we hearing out of Congress as to the possibility that some of these might make it through?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of Republicans are publicly coming out and saying that they feel pretty good that they're going to be able to get a lot of these names through off of simple majority. And then, you know, there are some of the names that we've heard out there. I mean, I was on Capitol Hill the day that the Matt Gaetz announcement came down, and pretty much every senator we spoke with had a let's see what happens kind of response to all of that, Republican lawmakers here. So, I mean, there are questions about how all this is going to go. I mean, it's not as if the Republicans have a huge, massive majority in the Senate, but they do have a majority. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how those conversations take place. And that being said, the president-elect has also said, you know, there is that so-called nuclear option of recess appointments that whoever ended up becoming Senate Majority Leader would have to be open to. And John Thune, who's now going to be Senate Majority Leader, had said that that's something that he's open to. All three of those candidates ended up saying that as well. So that's something to keep in the back mind as well.
And if you were going to say one of these cabinet positions is probably the most vulnerable, it would have to be Matt Gaetz, right?
Possibly. You know, I mean, we'll see what those conversations look like here. You know, I mean, there's also been a lot of chatter about Pete Hegseth for Department of Defense as well. There's a lot of conversations that are ongoing here, and it's, you know, when you hear a lot of these senators saying, well, let's see how the process happens. I mean, nobody really knows exactly how this is going to go and how all those votes are going to fall until it actually happens.
All right. Could see, could expect more today, possibly. Robert, listen, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Robert Sherman, News Nation national correspondent with us talking about new cabinet picks for the president-elect. Your Dallas Cowboys hosting the Houston Texans tonight on Monday Night Football. Going into my Cosell voice.
That's
there.
Monday Night. Oh, I can't do it that well.
Let's bring in Star Telegram columnist Mac Engel, his head still spinning from that exciting fight Friday night. Mac, good morning.
That's a good lead in.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm still in reveling and glowing from Mike Tyson's return to the ring.
So listen, speaking of that fight, Jake Paul now has more wins at AT&T Stadium this year than the Cowboys.
That's good.
Is that going to change tonight?
I didn't use that one.
Is there any indication that that might change tonight?
Well, here's the scary part. Because it's the NFL, the Cowboys will at some point, even though their roster has been completely depleted, and the roster wasn't very good anyways, but now is depleted by injury, we have seen throughout the course of the NFL and this era that a team will pop up and surprise you and win one they shouldn't. And it's just a question of when, which one will it be? Will it be Houston tonight? Well, Houston is a 7-point favorite, if you want to, you know, look at that as sort of a barometer. Houston has struggled a little bit. They're 6-4. They've had some injuries. The quarterback has maybe not progressed at the rate that he showed last season. But I just think from a talent standpoint, you know, Dallas just isn't very talented right now. They have some pieces. But to sit there and say, well, is this the one they're going to steal tonight and pull the upset? No, I think the game they're probably going to win is on Thanksgiving against a bad Giants team. I just don't see them winning this one tonight, and then certainly not next week in Washington.
Well, all indications right now is that it's going to be Cooper Rush going forward. Do you think there's going to be a point where they switch quarterbacks and go with Trey?
Maybe with about 2 weeks to go in the season. I just don't think, you know, listen, there's a reason why San Francisco traded him, and they reached on him to draft him third overall. I guess it was back in 2020 or 2021. It was a reach. They liked what they saw, and they thought they could, you know, get a steal. And he just hasn't played a lot. When he has played, he hasn't been very good. He's in the final year of the fourth year of his rookie contract. There is no way the Cowboys are going to exercise the team option on the fifth season, so he's going to become a free agent. I just don't think anybody can sit there and say that he has shown them enough to think that he can be a viable starter or even really be a solid number two. But I do think if things keep kind of going sideways or south with the Cowboys, at some point Mike McCarthy might just say, okay, let's give him a full game. He's started before. Let's give him a full game and see what he does. Because at some point, they're not there now. They're going to get there. At some point, it's just going to be about, we have nothing left to lose. This is all about a player talent evaluation, and let's see what you got.
I'm glad you mentioned Mike McCarthy. Jerry keeps saying he's not going to change coaches in midseason. He said he did that once, and he says he still regrets it. At what point does he possibly change his mind on that? Or does he? Maybe he just keeps digging in his heels.
No, I don't think it's digging in his heels. I don't believe he regrets changing Wade Phillips. I think he's full of it. I think he regrets. I think the one that he regretted was firing Chan Gailey. I think he thinks that's when he did too early. But firing Wade midseason, they had to do that because the team didn't respect him. They liked him, but they didn't respect him. I had players tell me that, and they quit on him. Wade did not have it in him. He was too nice of a man. He was too passive aggressive to really get on a team. He just wasn't wired that way. He was a terrific coordinator. But the difference was then to now is there was the successor on the sideline. Jerry Jones had hired Jason Garrett originally after Bill Parcells had retired as the offensive coordinator with the idea, that was back in 2007, with the idea that he was always going to eventually be his Tom Landry, his career coach. Well, that guy doesn't exist on the sideline for the Cowboys. There's nobody on that staff that you would say that is the obvious successor or long-term solution and replacement to Mike McCarthy. So I think there's a better chance of Mike McCarthy coming back, which is probably isn't very high, than Jerry Jones letting him go in the final year of his contract here between now and the second week of January when the season ultimately ends.
So then who's coaching this team next year? Is it Belichick or Deion Sanders?
It's not going to be Deion. I know that's a fun thing to talk about, but it's not going to be Deion. Deion can't run things on an NFL team the way he can on the college level. He just can't, and he knows it. Now, the wild card with Deion is his sons are leaving. His sons are going to be gone from Colorado next season. So he may not stay at Colorado, but I don't think an NFL team wants to hire him, not for any other reason. We've seen consistently college coaches who make the jump to the NFL don't really work out. And the other obvious one, I think you mentioned it, is Bill Belichick. The thing that's working against Bill, there's three things that are working against Bill, even though his record is the best in the modern era, and that guy's the best. One, he's going to be 74 years old next year, 73 or 74. The oldest coach in the NFL right now is Andy Reid, who's 66, and Andy Reid has the best quarterback in the game. Belichick also has his personality working against him. Curmudgeon-y. Bill Belichick's mentor worked for the Cowboys for 5 years and Bill Parcells, and while Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones liked Bill Parcells, Bill wasn't a fun guy, and they weren't going to have fun running the Cowboys. And Bill Belichick is not fun, and that's why he's on television now all the time, trying to sort of remold his image to say, "I'm not that demon, hell guy that Brady, Julian Edelman, all my former players have come out to sort of describe me as," because he is, or he was. And then the other thing too is his record without Tom Brady is not good.
Yeah,
and you can sit there and try to well this. He was a great coach. As a coordinator, he was second to none. And you cannot – I'm sorry. It's like Greg Popovich and the Spurs and all those – some of those great players make great coaches and great coaches make great players. And it worked for 20 years. But the idea that just because you hire Bill Belichick, you're going to get the success that he built with Tom Brady is a reach. It's going to be some combination of Brady with the Browns when Belichick was with the Browns, and then after Brady left when that thing started to go south. You're going to get some combination of that. So ultimately, I don't think it's going to be Deion, and I don't think it's going to be Belichick. I look on the sideline in Detroit and look at some of those guys who are on Dan Campbell's staff. If I had to sit there and guess who's going to be a successor to Mike McCarthy, but I still keep coming. I do not rule out Mike McCarthy coming back. Yeah. Just don't rule it out.
Yeah, maybe they'll find another Tom Landry. At this point, I'd take Tom Laundry.
Laundry, yeah.
I appreciate it, Mac. Thank you so much. Great stuff. That is Mac Engel with the Star-Telegram with us here on KRLD.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.